It's Tuesday, March 21st, 2017. This is your only interactive Sharks post-game show because Rhodey and the CSN boys have the night off. This is Pucknology After Dark. We welcome you on into your favorite post-game, and we wouldn't be here except for Audible, an Amazon company. With our free 30-day trial, you can access up to 180,000 audiobooks. Log on to audibletrial.com/PAD to sign up today. Of course, like we said, we are a live interactive Sharks post-game show. We do this after every game. Make sure you subscribe to the channel below. Catch us again on our next broadcast or in the future. Also, hit up pucknology.net for all your latest news and opinions about your favorite team, Teal. And you can also follow us on our social media channels, Facebook, Twitter, SoundCloud, Instagram, the Pucknology Writers Room YouTube channel. And, of course, if you want to be part of the show, and that's the whole thing about this show, interact with us. Use the hashtag PucknologyAD on the Twitter machine. Make sure we get your comments in throughout the show tonight. Also, for more interaction, join us in the YouTube chat or on the YouTube page or app and take a gander with our friends and pals. Fellow Sharks fans, unite. Hi, everyone. I'm Eric Curry. You can follow me on Twitter at PuckGuy14. We hope, I would say you enjoyed this game, but the Sharks lost 3-2 to the Minnesota Wild. This time they did score, but the Sharks are now on a four-game losing streak with three teams right behind them. Let's introduce the panel for tonight. Among our team, we want to say hello to Miss Rocket Backhander.
Good evening, gentlemen and people across the listening universe. Welcome to this episode of Pucknology After Dark.
And joining us from the beautiful country that is Canada, let's welcome Ian Reed.
Hi.
He's not the best analyst in the business for nothing, folks. All right. Well, let's talk about this game. The Sharks had the crazy time once again pissing off the schedule makers and making them travel south to north from Dallas to St. Paul, Minnesota. Coming off of a three-game losing streak, the Sharks come into Minnesota where the Wild have been 2-8 in their last 10. But nonetheless, let's talk about it. Again, let's go with initial reactions, Miss Rocket Backhander.
This game was sad. From what I understand, the team didn't get into the hotel in Minneapolis until like 2 o'clock in the morning. They did not have a morning skate, and it looked like it. They just look like they're not feeling good collectively. They're fighting something off, and they didn't get a lot of sleep last night, and the fruit snacks were generic. You know, they didn't look like they had taken care of themselves off the ice.
Ian, what did you take from tonight's game?
I think with everything going on, the flu bug definitely picked a shitty time to rear its ugly head.
Yeah, it's not the greatest time in the world for a flu bug or to have a weird injury to your newest player to come in. It's just... All right, so let's break this down. The Sharks kind of got a little flat-footed as Minnesota kind of dominated the effect. You definitely had that fight that got things going with Stewart and Haley. And Stewart, I guess you could say, getting the victory for more jabs in and definitely taking out the smaller Michael Haley on that part. But definitely made more of a... I don't want to say intimidation factor. No, more momentum factor. And then it got going further when Matt Dumba scored his 10th on the year from Parise and Staal at 10:29 and made it 1-0 Minnesota. That was the only goal in the period. The Sharks were outshot 11-5 in that period. And in Rocket, yeah, you kind of hit it on the head a little bit there. They seemed a little out of it and might have been the travel. Might be some sickness going on. Vlasic, of course, did not play tonight. It was with the flu, supposedly.
Yeah, it's taking the team one at a time. It's not taking them all at once like it took the Comumps. It's taking them one at a time. And that's probably worse.
Yeah, no, for sure.
And it also throws things off because it looks like that was a game time decision to go with that as well. So you have Schlenko moving up. DeMello goes with Dylan on the third pair. In the second period, I thought the Sharks started picking up some steam, although they did take a early, and I thought that was a little bit of a lazy penalty from Joe Thornton 1 minute into the period on Dumba. But both teams saved their best as Patrick Marleau tied the game up at 1-1. And in the matter of, that started at, it wasn't Marleau, it was Schlemko.
They took the goal away.
Although Marleau did finish the scoring in the second period, in a matter of a 63-second span, David Schlemko at 17:57 from Pavelski and DeMello tied the game up. And 33 seconds later, you had Hansel pick up his first goal as a member of the Minnesota Wild from Niederreiter and Pominville. Can I buy a vowel with that goal-scoring play? At 18:30 to make it 2-1, and then 15 seconds later, Charlie Coyle, I don't even think you could give him post-Teal syndrome for being just a draft pick. He gets his 17th from Parisi at 18:45, and you're thinking, oh, goodness, the tire fire has started here. And then, of course, Patty does get his 24th eventually, unassisted with a minute to go on a weird play that I think I saw on Twitter. Someone reminded us of it being like Archer's Urbe going around the net to make it 3-2. Ian, your thoughts on the second period that had a interesting start but an insane finish?
Yeah, I'm not gonna lie, like it's been a long few days for me, so I'm kind of just sitting here with my son and like I may have been nodding off a little bit, and then like when that happened I was right back into it.
Rocket.
The San Jose Sharks this season have not been historically a second period team, and I'd pretty much resigned myself to them being the, oh gosh, I want to say this nicely. They were getting outplayed, soundly outplayed. And so I had just sort of resigned to, okay, well, if that's what they're going to do, then I'm not going to really hope much for them because that doesn't look really like it's going to do. And then all of a sudden, and I was like, wait, what? What? Okay. All right. You guys showed up. All right. The cold meds are wearing off. Great. And then Coyle. Oh, this again. Okay. All right. So it really, I don't handle sudden change very well. I can handle change and I can adjust, but I need a lot of time to plan. And you need to give me more time than like 7 seconds between like being excited that we might actually win a game and being like, yeah, I knew it. Fuck it. We're going to lose. You know, like that kind of mind game is what gives me white hair. And I don't need it any faster than I'm getting it. That was the second period.
They can't explain it any more colorful than that, folks. Let's put it that way. Yeah. Moving on into the third period, you were hoping for that rush, but the Sharks seem to be very out of it. Like lackadaisical, their passing wasn't in there, their speed wasn't quite there. I saw the one play where Pavelski just kind of got worked from Zucker from getting the puck, and then it's like, come on, Pavs, you're faster than that. I know you're better than that. And then you started to get the feistiness going on, which, you know, we're not talking about goals, which means the Sharks lose this game 3-2. But they do seem out of it, guys.
Well, I think any time that Mark Edward Vlasic's out of the lineup, you're going to feel it. I think that's, you know, as bad as everything else was. I mean, you look at this loss doesn't really bug me as much as the Dallas one did.
Yeah, we should have won that game.
Yeah, like I feel like Dallas, you know, that was a game that was just on a tee. This team, look at as you know, yeah, the Wild were on a 5-game skid. Now we're on a 4-game skid, but the Wild are still a good team. Mm-hmm. But, you know, and the Stars aren't. But when you look at, like, the people that were missing from, you know, last game we were missing Chris Tierney, big deal. This game we're missing Mark Edward Vlasic, and that's just, it's just bad. You got people, you know, you've got, who was playing with, I think it was, like, Schlemko playing with Braun, like.
Yeah.
Yikes.
Yeah.
And then you got Dylan DeMello, which hasn't been a good pairing at all. At any point this year, I don't feel like that's been a good pairing at all. You know, and then of course you keep Martin and Burns together. It's not good.
Yeah.
And it doesn't help that offensively they've been frustrating.
Cold as we mentioned starfish.
Yeah. No, I agree. I mean, look at we can, you know, Kurz actually did a pretty interesting piece about the secondary scoring today, and he was bang on, and you probably sound clip that because I won't say that very often, but he was bang on. But the thing is though is at some point, you know, the guys that are expected to score the goals are going to need to step up and drag them out of this. Like, yes, secondary scoring is important, but we need the Pavelskis and the Coutures and the Thorntons, and you know, I mean, Marlowe getting on the board was good, but we need some primary scoring too.
We mentioned that before numerous times. I remember talking about that because at one time, I think there was like 4 players then, and I think we had Burns, Pavelski, Marlowe, where's the other one? I can't think of, and Couture, all are in their 20 goal scoring, and then we were talking about how everybody was at 7. Now you look at it, you have Pavs has leapfrogged Burnsy at 28. Yeah. Burnsy has 27. Couture's at 25. Patty gets 24 tonight. And then
Bodker,
the guy who couldn't score for the life of him in the calendar year 2016 for Team Teal, now has 9. And he's tied with Melker Carlson, who's tied with him. And yeah. Carlson's been gone for, what, last 2-3 games now?
Doesn't he have the flu?
No, he's got a upper body injury, I think.
I think that the combination of Carlson and Vlasic being out has a lot to do with the overall dysfunction of this team, because both of them are really quiet, but they're really, really thorough about their jobs. And I think when you have those kind of guys on the team, you don't realize how much they're doing. Because it's, you know, it's always taken care of. So when they're not there, it's like, oh, that usually gets, oh, I got to do that too. Oh,
yeah. It's funny. Jessica Gay in the chat just saying, you know, it's bad when Haley has more points than Tierney. And then I get crap when I say that, you know, Tierney needs to watch his back because O'Regan's hot in his tail. And for some reason that gets me flack all the time. So
but there you
fancy that.
How do you like Timo Meier on that fourth line?
I'm fine with it. Okay. I think with the players that are out, if you're looking for someone who's going to bang bodies and not be, you know, completely, he's been a lot more disciplined, I found, since he's rejoined the Sharks. Like on the Barracuda, he was really, really undisciplined and just generally being a douche, trying to kill people. I think on the, like, literally trying to kill people. On the fourth line, I didn't think he was terrible tonight. He didn't stand out by any stretch of the imagination, but right. I don't think he's been terrible there. I think given the other options, he's probably the guy I would put there given the other options.
And the other question I have about that fourth line for you is, do you think that there is any chance that DeBoer benches Haley for playoffs?
No.
Thank you. You heard it here from the Canadian. Haley is part of your San Jose Sharks playoff team. Please stop propagating this ridiculous rumor. Thank you.
So here's the thing with O'Regan, right? O'Regan, I mean, he's done good on a couple of things. Just I'm seeing Seth Bodker play O'Regan. The problem with playing O'Regan is that he's really done nothing other than play center, and I don't know what he would even do on the wing, to be completely honest. Like, he's a good center. He wins a crap ton of faceoffs. I don't know what he'd do on the wing. And I think to put him in like a little lower on the wing on the fourth line would be a waste. He's too small to play fourth line grindy wing.
Now that's some hot takery analysis. That's actually not hot takery. Yeah.
I mean, I can drop some hot takes on you if you want.
Well, if you want to drop hot takes, go right ahead. It's
Bodker's Bodker again.
Isn't there a lot of things that's bad and they should feel bad too?
Oh, look it. I mean, you guys know how much I love Donskoy, but man, he's got to get going. Like some of these, everyone needs to get going. This team is in disarray. And I didn't like the game last night. I'm not angry. Like last night I was swearing my head off and, you know,
with good reason though.
Yeah.
I guess. I mean, I don't know. I don't know. I'm not as upset this game. It's four in a row, and maybe I'm just getting numb to the whole thing, but I don't know what to tell you. I mean,
how many did we go last? No, was it last year or in 90 or excuse me, 14-15 was like 11 game losing streak?
No, it wasn't 11 game.
What was it? Was it 7?
I think it was 7. If I recall. Okay. 11 game, we would have been demanding another Joe Thornton trade.
I remember that. I remember
Kevin Lacy said that we should go watch him play tonight at 11:15, and we'll be really.
Where at, Kevin?
I can't be up that late, and I'm sure there's no stream. So unless someone wants to like
Periscope it.
Periscope
for Facebook me. Live. If you go to Kevin Lacy's hockey game, which is where? Come on. Where is it?
For America Ice?
You don't say Sharks Ice. You have to put quarters in the Sharks Ice.
Yes.
In the Sharks Ice jar.
Nonetheless, if you're just joining us, welcome to Bucknology After Dark. We are your post-game show after every game. Please do us a favor, subscribe down below or to the side, and make sure you hit up technology.net. And also, Kevin Lacy is at Silver Creek Sportsplex, Rink 2.
Oh, okay.
At 11:15 tonight. So make sure you go support Kevin Lacy, because after all, we are all Kevin Lacy.
We are all Kevin.
That's true.
Okay, wait.
Go ahead.
Nick Neftepitz. I don't think... I know everyone keeps saying put Hurdle back. I don't think that's the answer. Look, that line hasn't. He's been up there and down. I understand he's not been there all year, but that he was up there for a good stretch of time, and that line still was hella cold. Like Hansen's been the only thing that's really worked on that top line this year. Everything else has been garbage, including Hurdle. I don't know why everyone thinks that this is the silver bullet we're missing. It was bad with Hurdle there.
Well, mainly because of how good it was last year, mainly during the playoffs.
Yeah, but this is this year.
I understand that, and you want that familiarity. I think is the issue going on.
Yeah, I want Donskoy to be a clutch goal scorer. I want Ward to be a clutch goal scorer. I want Haley to not be on the ice. But this is this year.
I want Haley to be a sniper.
Him to be the freaking sleeper cell sniper that they're not telling anybody about until playoffs.
Chris, don't even get me going. I will fight you.
Forget being clutch. I just want these guys to score.
No, I want clutch. All or nothing.
I mean, seriously, I just want them to.
Nobody. Nobody's done the best on the top line. This is the problem with this team this year is with the Joes, no one can get the Joes going. The only other guy who's been remotely good up there is Marlowe. That's it.
Sorensen was all right for a hot minute until he got chopped in the face and now he's gone.
Yeah.
Not Sorensen. Hansen. one of the Sens.
Yeah. No, it's not. Oh, Hansen's been good. Hansen, Hurdle was okay there for a little while. But I think the two best players to play up there this year, honestly, before it went cold, was Marlowe. And, you know, and then you're too top heavy. And then Hansen.
Yeah, I agree.
New person in the chat. At least I haven't seen them. And oh boy, I apologize in advance for getting the name wrong, but I'm going to say Ramsesaurus. I don't know. Apologies for that. Is it possible they're saving?
Throw Sorensen on the first line. Why not?
Is it possible that they're saving energy for the playoffs?
No, I don't buy that for a second.
I don't. Yeah, no.
They're not wired that way.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think you go out there and you don't want to go into the playoffs like this. Like, they don't want to go into the playoffs on a huge skid because, you know, it's bad. It's bad mentally, I think. And it's just bad habits too. Like if you skid into the playoffs, I don't like their chances if they can't turn this around and slide into the playoffs on the streak. Like,
a hockey jerk in the chat. How soon before the Sharks get desperate and split the Joes? Or go with, I'm sorry, throw the Joes with Couture?
Never.
That would be really top heavy.
Who's going to take your draws on the second line?
Patty.
I mean, not that Couture wins any draws, but that's your point. But he does a lot of other good things on that second line, too.
Let's bring Robinson up.
While we're kind of talking lineup and stats, we'll talk about the other stats as well. Wild outshot the Sharks 27 to 23. Face-off wise, nothing new. 55-45 in favor of the Wild. Your face-off percentage is actually not too bad tonight, except for Logan did not win any draws. Pavelski 58, Thornton 50, Ward 43, Hurdle 42, Tierney 56, Couture 0. Jones 24 saves on 27 shots. You had Schlemko with the goal, DeMello with a point, another point for DeMello. I think that's four straight for him with a point being him in the lineup. Pavs with an assist, Patty with the goal there. And your three stars were Parisi, Coyle, and Hansel tonight.
Oh, good Hansel, for so hot you. Right,
so hot. Fairness. Right now.
So hot? Do we need an Ian rant?
No, I just Hansel so hot right now.
Oh, what? He scored his first goal with the Wild tonight. What are you talking about?
So hot right now.
So hot right now.
Have you never seen this before?
I don't think he has.
No.
No, what? What's the matter with you?
Simple. It's a game called hockey. I like watching it. And during the summertime, I watch taped games.
Yeah,
so,
no, you need to make time for Zoolander.
Yeah, you need to. Not the second one, the first one.
Yes, I agree.
Oh, I heard the second was putrid. And
it was pretty bad.
What would be worse, Zoolander 2 or Anchorman 2?
Zoolander 2.
Yeah.
Ouch, and because that's bad when I thought Anchorman 2 was bad. Manda B, separate the Joes and see what happens.
Mike Nevis in the chat. The Cure came to town.
That's right. The Cure came to town.
Told you, man. I told you.
Son of a bitch.
Don't say I didn't call it.
Damn it.
Kevin Lacey was saying Kings were awful in March and then went 14-2 in playoffs or something. Yeah. Gen X. Good friend.
Didn't they fight their way like in 2012, or was that the first time they won? Like they were like, was that the eight seed or was that?
Yeah, they were the eighth seed when they won it all.
Barely. I don't remember. I feel like they barely got
in. And they barely got in. And they literally went on a tear. I think, I mean, they took out Vancouver in 5, St. Louis in 4. Why can't I think? Oh, they beat Chicago in the conference final pretty soundly and beat the Devils in 6.
Yeah.
And it's crazy, but... It's just, yeah, that's crazy. But to the 45 people of you watching, we thank you for choosing Pucknology After Dark. Really appreciate it. If you're new here, please subscribe down below or to the side. We really appreciate it. You know, we do this after every game, and trust us, this is this all started with you know, the Sharks not really having a post game call-in show, and the chat and the tweets are your way to call in per se and let your voice be heard. And like I think I said with Christine and on Twitter earlier, I think I retweeted her. It's kind of like a therapy of sorts. So with all that being said, thank you.
It's also like Ian swearing a lot.
Well, last night was understandable. I mean, let's be real here. So,
hey, Nick in the chat asking, how big is our game with Edmonton going to be?
It'll be huge. Huge. The final 9 games of the season are going to be massive now. That Dallas game on Friday, you better show up this time. Then you're going up against Nashville the next night. You get 2 days off, and that's your final 2-day break of the regular season. You go home to play the Rangers, and then you get back on a plane to take on Edmonton and Calgary and Vancouver for your final road trip of the year. And then you play Vancouver, Edmonton, and Calgary. I mean, at this point, you could either be A, playing your first round opponent in the final 9 games of the season, or B, playing a team that wants to steal the Pacific Division title from you as well.
Yep.
Yeah,
I'm not too worried.
You're not too worried, Ian Reed says.
No. No, look, you got a game against Dallas. I think, you know, that's a team you should beat. I think that they're going to be better. Maybe they actually better. We'll see. You know, you got another back-to-back here. You got Dallas and Nashville. Nashville doesn't super scare me. Dallas, I think they should roll over. The Rangers are scary as hell. And then you have Edmonton, Calgary. If you can't get up for those games now, then have fun getting up for those games in a week.
Yeah.
Yep. Absolutely.
But really, I mean, you know, or you know, because you have them again the next week, and then you might have one of them starting after that. So if you can't get up for those games now, I mean, that's when I think you got to start really panicking. If the Sharks, you know. Yeah, look, at these next 3 games, obviously you want to see the Sharks get back in the win column. But these, you know, the last 6 games where you have Edmonton and Calgary twice, and then you have Vancouver also, you know, but if you can't get up for those Edmonton and Calgary games now, then I don't even know why you'd even show up in the playoffs.
Playoffs?
So you don't get fined?
I guess so. I mean, they're going to make it. Like, I think they would have to just, like, weird stuff would have to happen for the Sharks to miss at this point. I know they're not mathematically clinched, but they're not going to miss the playoffs. Like, let's relax a little bit, okay?
Relax. Don't do it. No, sorry. We'll spare the singing.
You said you had to.
I also do. Is that your stomach rocket?
No, it's just the noise I make when that's like what inside I sound like when the Sharks don't do well. Just yeah. Oh, okay.
Yummy.
All right.
And with that, let's go around the league and we'll get you caught up on the playoff situation as well. There were plenty of hockey games on the docket tonight, and let's go a lot with playoff implications. Ottawa goes into Beantown and beats the Bruins 3-2 in that one. Huge win for Ottawa as they stay put in second place in the Atlantic. In Buffalo, the team formerly known as the Buffaslugs, otherwise known as the Sabres, lose to Pittsburgh 3-1. Sidney Crosby scores a backhander goal, and I say that with one hand.
Hey.
At the same time, he gave a nice little nut job to Ryan O'Reilly, and of course got away with it because he's Sidney Crosby, you know, where PR Sidney Crosby's the greatest player ever. He is
he
just
cheats
a long
in the
wonder.
Circle. He oh, cheats God. In the circle.
Yes.
Everyone cheats in the circle.
Not except the way Logan Sidney Crosby cheats in the circle.
I don't think Logan Couture cheats in the circle. If he is, somebody give him a better way to cheat because he's not working out. Right.
Well, that would explain Logan's numbers in the circle then if he doesn't cheat.
Hey-oh. In New Jersey tonight, in overtime, a clash of the New York metropolitan area. The Devils beat the Rangers 3-2 in overtime in a great game in Newark. We should thank the Washington Capitals tonight if you're a Sharks fan or Oilers fan or Ducks fan or a Kings fan, as the Capitals beat the Flames 4-2. Also in action, Detroit are not tanking properly. They beat Montreal in overtime 2-1 in Montreal. In Tampa, the Desert Dogs beat the Tampa Bay Lightning 5-3 as they have decided not to tank as much as they want to.
That's a huge blow to Tampa Bay too. I mean, Tampa Bay needs all the points they can get, and they're now this is their third loss in a row, I think. So you want to talk about, you know, not putting it up, you know, we're crying because the Sharks are losing when they're firmly in a playoff spot. Tampa Bay's on a slide, and you know, they're still kind of within striking distance here, but it's, you know, the road gets harder every time they drop another game. So
isn't Arizona in kind of the same position? Like, they're not mathematically out of it yet, but they've still got
they're
a
out.
Chance. Okay.
They're out.
I think they were eliminated yesterday, actually.
Okay. Yep. All right. Then it's they're just doing it to be shits now.
Right.
Cool. Makes me like them even more.
And somehow, you know, Toronto will get the number one pick again. No. The Desert Dogs were eliminated yesterday, to answer that question. Also in the game, again, Drew Weber's Carolina Hurricanes, since he made his appearance on Technology Writers Room, have won again, 4-3 over the Florida Panthers in a extremely sparse crowd in Sunrise, Florida, even to Panthers standards. Winnipeg trying to make a run for it as they beat the Flyers 3-2, a huge blow to the Flyers' playoff chances.
Oh, the Flyers are done.
Flyers are more than done now. Vancouver had 3 goals on 5 shots and led this game 4-1. Mm-hmm. And with a minute left, Chicago tied the game, only for the Canucks to win on a power play goal from the Sedin scores.
Chicago lost to Vancouver.
Chicago lost to the Vancouver Canucks in overtime 5-4.
Something is not right with the Force, man.
It's weird. And in the game that just went final, the Blues beat the Avalanche 4-2 in that one. So with that, let's take a look at the Pacific Division. Let's take a look at the Pacific Division standings at the moment. Sharks still at 91 with 9 games left. The Oilers and Ducks now have a game in hand on San Jose as they're at 87 points. Edmonton with the slight tiebreaker for now. The Calgary Flames, that was a tough loss for them because that would have leapfrogged them into second place. So they stay at 86 and hold down the first wild card.
I think LA, they're done. They're not getting in. Like, I think Calgary is pretty safe in their spot. They're not going to get caught by Winnipeg. They're not getting caught by LA. They're fine. I think that's your playoff seeding right there. I don't know if it's going to be in that specific order, but that's basically what it's going to be, is the teams you're looking at now are your playoff teams in the West. Book it.
Wow.
The Canucks go to 67, so they're clinging on to dear life as of this moment.
They're done.
Yeah. They're dick Chicago, so far as the, if I'm not mistaken, to read or miss backhander, Chicago's the only one in the West that has clinched a playoff spot, correct?
Yes.
Yeah, I think Minnesota's on the verge. But here's the Western Conference picture. Again, you see the Pacific, the top three, the Central. Chicago picked up the point in their loss to the Canucks, so they hit 100 first. Minnesota with the win goes to 94. St. Louis's win leapfrogs them into number three in the Central. Your wild cards are at the moment Calgary at 86, Nashville at 83, and in the hunt, barely. You have the Kings at 75, the Jets at 73, the Stars at 68, and the Canucks at 67. For those playing the magic number game, which, you know, seems like the Sharks haven't contributed themselves lately, for the Sharks to clinch a Pacific Division title, which all of a sudden looks a little iffy right now, the maximum amount of points by Edmonton and Anaheim would be 107. So they need 108, essentially. And that means a magic number of 17 for the Sharks to clinch the division title. For a playoff spot, LA can only get to 96 now, which means the Sharks' magic number is 5. And that reduces every time the Sharks gain a point and every time the Kings don't gain a point.
How realistic is that? What is it, 16 points?
17.
17. How realistic is that?
They need to get going. Pretty much, like, not win out completely, obviously, because that'd be 20 points. But
right.
They would need to go on just a insurmountable, like.
In the Sharks, and even then, the Sharks have to go on a bad run, which at the moment seems so far so good on that part, because they keep shooting themselves in the foot. So, of course, as we've been saying since the first Saturday of the season, if the playoffs started today, you would have the Sharks and Flames in round one, followed by the Oilers and Ducks, Blackhawks and Nashville, and Minnesota versus St. Louis. Those would be your matchups in the West. In the East, you would have, you would have Washington against Toronto, Pittsburgh versus Columbus, which, by the way, both those teams clinched playoff spots tonight, as Columbus went over the 100 mark last night in their win. Montreal would take on the Rangers, even though the Rangers have a higher seed. Montreal would have home ice, and Ottawa would take on the Bruins, although Toronto is just 1 point back of the Bees in the Atlantic.
Well, hey, welcome back to the playoffs, Canada.